Okay, we are in the middle of chapter 11 of Egeres HaTshuva.
Yes, we are.
And we're formulating now, we're coming up with the conclusion as to what is tshuva according to Chassidus. And we've been talking about this idea of having both a downcast heart, or humble feeling of humility and a feeling of joy simultaneously. And he said that fear is in one side of the heart and love is in the other side of the heart. And that this should propel us then, as he said in the last chapter, to do Torah and mitzvahs, davening, all those type of things with a love and a fear. And that we know that what should we be happy about? We should be happy about the fact that Hashem is going to forgive us without any doubt. As we say every single day, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. And we say, Baruch atah Hashem, chanun hamar b'lislech. That Hashem's got lots of forgiveness going there. Now, comparing that to a person, that a person has to be forgiving. And if a person has to be forgiving, so he says, B'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Allah has kama v'kama le'ein ketz, is where we're starting from, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom of page 382. And in English, it's as a divine trait, forgiveness is as swift as it infinitely more so on the right side of the page of 381. So if it's we who are patterned after Hashem, and if we have an attribute of forgiveness, it's because Hashem has also an attribute of, it's because Hashem has an attribute of forgiveness, worthy also. Okay.
Indeed, yes.
How much more so Hashem has. But with Hashem, it says our forgiveness, just like everything else in our body, is limited. But with Hashem, Hashem's forgiveness is infinite. Masher shapchim uvorchim es Hashem chanun hamar b'lislech hamar b'dayke. That we say, when we say in our davening, that Hashem is gracious and abundant to forgive. And specifically, we can zero in on the word hamarba. People are not marba, as forgiving or as merciful as a person might be. It's limited to their
capacity,
to their intellect, right, to how much they can withstand. Right. As it says in Ezra, the book of Ezra, that Hashem is Rav Lislayach. So what happens, for example? What are we talking about? How abundant is Hashem's forgiveness? Person does something wrong to somebody else. We mentioned this last week, also the week before. Person does something wrong to somebody, so he says, oh, I'm sorry. So this is the person's going to forgive him. He's listening. It says in the Torah, you have to forgive the guy. But if the guy does it again, so he's going to be a little less inclined to forgive it. The first time you said you were sorry. Sorry means I'm never going to do it again. And here you did it again. So, but even still, okay, we're still Jews. But it gets to the third or fourth time, it's like, get away from me. Don't come near me anymore.
Get out of my face.
I don't want to have to forgive you anymore because I don't want anything to do with you.
Right.
Okay, but with Hashem, I will meet as a Kodesh Baruch Hu in Hefesh Bein Pam Achad Lo Elef Pamim. With Hashem, it doesn't matter. One time, a thousand times, because all numbers are just numbers. Mm-hmm. As I say, that when you walk into shul on Yom Kippur, by Kol Nidre, the usher doesn't hand you a piece of paper and says, this is this year's Al Chet. Okay, no. Last year's, we did that already. That's last year. No. This is this year's Al Chet.
Yeah.
Okay?
Scary if he knew.
No. The answer is, as we've been doing, it's the same ones every single year. we're coming back with Hashem. I acted with periphery, and I acted with, you know, falilos over there, and the hiddennesses of my heart, and the things I didn't even know I did, and, you know, all kinds of things like that. You know, so I used to learn with a guy. This guy was a character. Every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, he would call on his way to work. Okay, he had to be at work downtown by 7. Uh-huh. So at 6 o'clock when he's starting out, hey, Finman! He called me Finman. Finman, that is it. Yeah, we smoked and smoked. One time it happened the day after Yom Kippur. He called me 6 o'clock in the morning. So he says, Finman, you'd be proud of me. I said, yeah, why? So he says, I went to Shul on Yom Kippur. He says, oh yeah, I'm very proud of you. He says, no, that's not why you should be proud of me. He says, I said that Al Chet prayer, and you should know I didn't do about two-thirds of those things.
That's fun.
Let's keep it track.
Okay.
Ouch.
Okay.
Ay. All right, he's good. I've only done them all.
Yeah, indeed.
When I read the commentary in the back of the Bedouin, I realized I was doing more than I thought.
Yeah. It says that a tzaddik has to say vidui as well, with all the letters of the alphabet. Ashamnu, begadnu, gezalnu.
Then I have to do it.
At least, it says, at the very least, it says, kol yisrael arevim zevazeh. When it says over there, it says, we did. Yeah. So it could be that he's excluding himself. It's not, I don't mean me. I mean those guys over there. Mm-hmm. But it also says, and the Rebbe quotes it in the Maimer, which is relevant to Basil Lagani for this year, that there's a tzaddik who does good, that there's no tzaddik in the world who does good that doesn't have some deficiency. Deficiency meaning like, you know, something, you know, chet, you know, that is the word there, meaning deficiency.
Right.
So everybody has the ability to do something wrong.
More, yeah.
Yes. And what he's talking about over here now. So the way to correct this, and he doesn't talk about it over here. In fact, the Alter Rebbe mentions the concept of shtus de kedusha. You heard of shtus de kedusha? Yeah. You know I'm talking about. Okay. That once in Likutei Torah. And from there, the ensuing Rebbe's take on it and run with it.
Yeah.
And the Rebbe for sure zeroes in on this idea, shtus de kedusha, because it says, "Ein adam oiver avera elam kein nichnas baruch shtus." A person will only do something wrong when he can do something stupid. If he's becomes stupid, and the stupidity is that he thinks he'll be just as Jewish and have just the same connection as he had with Hashem before he did this thing wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, and the Rebbe in this year's and the Tavshin Yudal brings an interesting point: is how could a person be so stupid? Okay, and a better question is if this person, if you ask him, the Alter Rebbe actually brings this in Tanya. You have a lady, because the word shtus comes from the same word sota. Uh-huh. Okay, you have a woman who's ready to have an adulterous affair. And why is it that anybody has an adulterous affair? The bottom line?
No idea.
Because self. Giving in their tithes.
Better.
I don't think they wouldn't think they get caught.
Because they have a prolonged rush.
They've justified it.
What's the justification? I deserve to have it.
Yeah, they've justified it. Yeah.
I deserve to have it. My spouse is a such and such. Or my spouse does such and such. Or my spouse doesn't do such and such. Therefore, I deserve to engage in this extramarital relationship.
Right.
Okay? That's called stupidity. Because it's not a justification at all. Okay? There is no justification for it. So this person is doing something which is no justification for it. And if you were to ask her to stop believing in Hashem, she'd say, I can't. So how's it? What's one? So the Rebbe answers is that there are 613 commandments. We talked about Yaakov Chavel Nachalase over here. Mm-hmm. That there's a rope, it's made of 613 strings, yeah. Fiber optics, we talked about it. So when a person transgresses one avera, he snaps one strand.
Yeah.
There's still 612 left.
Right.
If you took a test that had 613 questions and got 612 right, you would feel very good about yourself.
Yeah.
So this person then feels good about themselves. Look, I deserve even greater things because, look, I'm doing 612 commandments. That's a lot of commandments that I'm doing. So I deserve lots of good things. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's the rosh tus. But if now we come and we say, listen, we're going to cut the entire rope. Wait a minute. Can't do that. Okay, so then suddenly the person wakes up because it's touching that's affecting their essence. It's not just one little string.
Right.
Okay, so with Hashem, it doesn't matter the first time, the thousandth time, kimachiluhu b'midas harachamim, because this is an expression of Hashem's mercy. And what do we know of anything we said already in Shar Yichud V'Amunah, way back when? That just as you cannot understand Hashem's midas achesed, which is the ability to create, we can't understand Hashem's ability to tzimtzum. We can't understand gevura either, because that's also infinite. Mm. And I got news for you: Hashem's rachmanis is also infinite, and we can't understand that either.
Yeah.
Okay. I can understand. Listen, somebody's gonna do something to me 4 or 5 times. There's no way. I'm not. You know. Not, but what? But why should Hashem? Just because Hashem is bigger than me. Infinitely so? I mean, you know, so why? But the answer is that I wouldn't understand that either.
Right.
Okay? Because when you look at it, the whole world is an expression of Hashem's Rachmanis.
Yes.
As we said back in Shar Yichud V'Amunah, in chapter 6, that Hashem wanted to create the world with Midas HaDin.
Yeah.
Saw that it couldn't exist, so he was Meshatev. Midas HaRachamim, he puts the Rachmanis in there, making the primary factor in the creation is Rachmanis, even though the world is filled with limitations, and because of all of those limitations, the physical world that we live in is called Ruba Kekulei Ra, the vast majority evil, but still, even with that, it's an expression of Hashem's Rachmanis. That's the major factor in the creation. Hashem says, cut these guys some slack. We're here, aren't we? You know, it says about Holocaust survivors. Not that I understand, not that I pretend to understand, that I could ever understand.
Don't want to understand.
Not that I want to understand. That there were people whose faith was shaken by their experience in the camps.
Yeah.
And it's understood, where is Hashem? If such a thing could happen to humanity, where is Hashem? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned, I used to have when I was growing up, I had an optician. I had the same optician for 30 years. Okay, I had a small optical store in first in Newark, then in Millburn, New Jersey. And when I became from, so I went over it and said, would you put on tefillin? Mm. And he said he remembers very clearly the last day that he put on tefillin. Because when he was drafted in World War II, he took his tefillin with him. And when he walked into Treblinka, he left his tefillin there. He said, I can't, it doesn't make any sense. It can't be. Okay. I said, what could I answer you? I said, I can't answer you anything.
No.
He was part of the liberators of Treblinka. You know, so there's nothing I could say to him.
No.
You know, so, but...
Even takes another Holocaust survivor.
Okay. Not even then. I don't even know.
But the point I want to make is that those people who came out with a greater faith than when they went in, because they said, if I saw all the horrors that were going on, and I was able to get through it only because of the direct involvement of Hashem in my life, and the Rachmanis that Hashem showed me, did that person also have only 250 calories a day? Yes. Did that person also sleep with 12 people in his bed? Yes. Did that person also not take a shower for 4 years? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but to him, he saw Hashem's Rachmanis, because I lived through it. I saw a lot of people who didn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't my number. Hashem must have something better for me. Because Hashem's midas, because he says, "Umidas of Hakadoshas ain in Bechinas Gvul v'Tachlis," Hashem's attributes, which are holy, do not have any limit at all. Ela Bechinas ain sof. They are infinite. Okay, it's interesting that he uses the expression. It could just say, "Umidas of ain in Bechinas Gvul." And we would know, you're talking about Hashem. We're talking about Hashem. This whole paragraph is talking about Hashem. Yeah. Why does he put in his holy attributes? He doesn't even translate it into English.
Divine attributes.
But he says divine. But that's not... Yeah, maybe that is a translation. Okay? We're talking about the holy attributes. It's an interesting statement that also from this the mimer, this, except the from that mimer, in Tavshin Yid Dalad. That the Mezuzah Magid says Hashem's Kadosh, right? Ki Kadosh Ani, it says. It says in the Pasuk. You can't argue with the Pasuk. The Pasuk is 100%. So the Pasuk says Ki Kadosh Ani, because I Hashem am holy. So the Mezuzah Magid says Yachol Kemaini, as a question in the Gemara, that you might think that your holiness is could also be like Hashem's holiness, because it says "Iskadish and Vitiyam Kadish," that your holiness, you should be holy, you make yourselves holy and be holy. Mm. It's a pasuk in Chumash. It's a commandment.
Yes.
You have to make yourselves holy. Mm. So Hashem is holy, and I'm holy. Okay. So you might think it says that my holiness should be equated with Hashem's holiness. So the Mizrahi Magid says something very interesting over there. That Hashem's holiness is dependent upon our holiness. Mm. It's a very strange statement. Okay? Because it's the same thing like we talked about in the second half of Shari Yavid Vamuna. When you say, Ein Malach Beloy Am, right? Hashem's Adnus. Mm-hmm. Hashem gets to be Adoin Ha'olam. He gets to be the Lord of the world.
Because
how? Because there's an Am,
there's a world.
Because there's a people that are separate.
That's right.
That's how Hashem gets to be Adon.
Yeah.
Okay? So Hashem gets to be holy, even though his holiness is no way comparable to our holiness. Our holiness is no way comparable to his holiness. But still, Hashem gets to be holy because we're putting forth an effort to raise ourselves. As much as we raise ourselves, Hashem raises himself also.
Question.
Yes.
How do we understand that against that Hashem is unchanged from creation? Whatever he created, he was unchanged.
When we say Hashem doesn't change, it refers to his essence.
He's not affected by anything.
That's the essence of Hashem.
He allows
it. When you talk about that part of Hashem, that aspect of Hashem which relates to the creation,
he allows himself to be affected.
So that gets affected by what's going on in the creation. When you talk about the whole thing of the first part of the Basil Ghani Mimer, Adam sinned and it changed the whole dynamic.
Yeah.
That Adam was standing and talking to God, ate some piece of fruit, and suddenly, hey, where'd he go? He's gone. He's not here anymore. And then comes Cain and Hevel. And he bumps it up another level. And then Enosh began worshiping idols, pushes it up another level. Okay, and then you have the Dora Mabel, the Dora Flaga, you have Steinman Amara. Okay, all these things, they push it right up to the seventh heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the seven Tzaddikim, and then you come with Moshe. Moshe brings it down by Matan Torah, back down here. And then that's there for 40 days, and then we have the golden calf, out, God again. Okay, we've been trying to bring it down ever since.
Yeah.
So that, as far as the revelation of divinity that we can experience, so that waxes and wanes. Depending on us specifically.
Mm. What was me?
The godliness that you want to experience is the godliness that you work on to be able to experience. Mm. So Hashem says, yeah, you with me? The essence of Hashem is not involved with this whatsoever, because essence by definition doesn't get involved with anything. It's only for itself.
So our closeness, our relationship changes.
Yep.
But Hashem's holiness, that's our environment.
Let's define holiness.
There we go.
So I understood, if you hadn't told me before, it was a person's holy by following Hashem's will.
What does it mean Hashem is holy?
Just Hashem. I don't know. I think of the chapters from Micha, which are read on Yom Kippur after Mincha, after the Yonah.
Yeah.
It shows the 13 attributes, the way it's some behaviors of Hashem that we're supposed to emulate.
That's making Hashem holy, or that's making Hashem not holy?
It's how we can be. We're supposed to emulate
Hashem. Okay, fine. You're not answering my question. How is Hashem holy?
By being completely separate from everything.
Oh, okay. So now what happens? You work on yourself and you become more godly. However much more godly you become.
Closer.
Okay. So what is Hashem doing? Hashem's Kaddish. You're bumping Hashem up to them.
From what?
From you.
But what is he? He's already.
You're holy, and Hashem becomes more holy, because you became holy. You're the pillar, but you're the base on which this whole holiness is based
Hashem
upon.
Can be,
so that when you're raising yourself, so you're raising the whole thing. The whole structure gets raised. That's all dependent on us. That's what we're here for.
It's hard to grasp this.
If you look at Evacolda in Memoriam, he uses this very unusual word that always appears in italics or in quotes. He calls it if you want to raise up something heavy, you use this thing called a lever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even in the books in Russia, he calls it a lever because I think it's a Latin word that appears in the Gemara someplace maybe.
Mm.
You know, he uses the idea. If you want to pick a building up, you stick a lever underneath the bottom of the building and you push up.
Right.
Okay. I don't know how many people were picking up buildings back then.
You got one in the handle.
Yeah. But because you don't pick up a building from the top, you pick up a building from the bottom. So this is a binyan. The whole thing, the whole creation is a binyan, it's called.
Mm.
It's a building. And we're the foundation of it. And it's totally, completely dependent upon us. Elsewhere, I didn't look, this thing that he quotes, the Mizrach HaMagid, I didn't look it up. But the one which impressed me, which sounds similar, which I think we've quoted over here, that the Mizrach HaMagid explains, Da Mala Mala Mimcha. It's one of those things that appears on the front of shuls. Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, Adnai Sefa Sai Tiftach. They have all these different things that are supposed to get you in the mood. So one of these is that they put in the front of the shul is Da Mala Mala Mimcha. You should know that which is above you. So the Mizrach HaMagid didn't even teach it differently. He just put the punctuation differently. He said, Da, you should know. Mala, mala, that which is above, mimcha, is from you. That we, being the basis of the entire Seder Histalshalos, whatever happens, whatever we do, affects that whole entire creation process. That, not that I know if I can mention over here, but the Ramchal's approach to Musar. I don't know if you've ever learned the Path of the Just, Derech Hashem, the Path of Hashem, the Path of the Just.
Mm-hmm.
So he writes over there, his books are very Kabbalistic. And he goes through the whole creation thing, how the creation works, in tremendous detail, and then at the end sums it all up, and look what a mess you make if you muck things up. You're mucking up all this. Okay? So, not that we emphasize what happens if you do something wrong. We always say, listen, use that lever, elevate things. That's the way our approach is. But understand that the Ramchal recognized that which is dependent upon us. The Ramchal, I think, lived about the same time as the Mizrach HaMagid, early 1700s, was the Ramchal?
No,
I think so. He was before the Alter Rebbe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so sometime between the Baal Shem Tov and the Mizrach HaMagid was the Ramchal.
He's after Shabbat Sri.
That's 50 years before the Baal Shem Tov, even. 50 years before the Baal Shem Tov was born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sometime around in that era, in that space.
Yeah.
I think I can understand it if I understand that the spark of Hashem, the godly soul, is a part of Hashem.
That doesn't need any fixing.
But it's affected by what we do.
That maintains it. That maintains its integrity.
But it's affected by what we do.
It gets schmutzed over. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Fine.
Yes. So if I raise my level, I'm like holiness. I raise it. It's less schmutzed.
Yeah. And since we have this verse, Yaakov Hevel Nachalasei, that Yaakov is the rope of his inheritance, the way we translate it. When you schlep one end of the rope up, the other end of the rope also gets schlepped up.
I can, you can't cop it that way.
Okay.
Okay. You can't cop with some... Having, he can make
what's
it.
The difference? So
my lack of intelligence.
The gross graphic example that you can kind of sort of put your hand...
I can't get the other end of it.
The idea that Hashem should become more holy, meaning that the revelation...
I have to grapple with everything.
I can tell you that 37 years ago, Chassidus was really simple. Now... Nope. 37 years later, or 37 years of learning Chassidus, it's not simple. It was very simple 37 years ago. But, you know, what did I know already? What I knew really well. Okay? Now I know, and I think I have a really good grasp of what I don't know. Which is also an accomplishment.
I can gossip myself on the back. Hashem can make room to grow holier.
Right. Well, you know, it's not
how,
hello.
I can't do it. How? I can't. But I can say there's no limit to what Hashem can make infinite and higher.
That's correct. There's a whole lot of infinity out there.
I just
it's
can't
a very
it.
Long rope. Yes.
I accept it, but I can't grasp it.
Okay. You know, well, in that case, just do it.
I do.
Okay.
But I tried to understand it. You're supposed to try.
Of course, you have to. But not when you're driving, especially not when the roads are slippery.
No. That brings it less down.
Kamosha Kasa, let's flip the page. Kiloi Chalo Rachamav, your mercies have not ended. Meaning that there is no end to Hashem's mercy. Okay, and that, and Hashem relating to us, there's whatever there is, there's a whole lot more. As far as Hashem concerned, large and small doesn't make a difference. That everything compared to Hashem is like nothing, and big and small, exactly the same. Because any number, when you're talking infinity, is infinitesimally small. It has no importance whatsoever.
Right.
And why is it then we need to have Rachmanis specifically? Is because, okay, if it's going to be just Chesed and Gevurah without Rachmanis, Chesed is good. Chesed is give. Gevurah is going to also be good because they're going to say, don't blow me away. What's the Rachmanis going to do? Is the Rachmanis is going to say, wait a minute, if it wouldn't be for Rachmanis, when we say that everything's considered like nothing, so then, why bother?
Yeah.
But it's only as an expression of Hashem's Rachmanis.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you mean by Rachmanis? You have back in chapter 32 of Tanya, he talks about the person that you should hate. If a person is on your level, and he does something wrong, and you've warned him 100 times, don't do it, you've rebuked him, and the person is still doing it after 100 times, mitzvah l'sainav, you now have a mitzvah to hate this person, because they are an unrepentant sinner. And he says, but wait a minute, you still have the mitzvah of ahav l'reacha kamaycha, you still have to love the guy.
Right.
So how is it you can hate the guy and love the guy? So he says, that's where you have to have Rachmanis. If you have Rachmanis on this guy, you look at this guy, that this guy at this point, because he's such a sinner, you would refer to him as just a Bria Ba'alma. Just some sort of something that crawled out from under a rock, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That this person is because of their low stature, is deserving of pity. Pity is also the same thing like Rachmanis.
Mm.
You brought down the example there of when you were learning, I think you had a couple of stories, you were learning and there's like some missionary or something that came by you and you said, oh, we should go learn with the guy or put the phone on.
Yeah.
Or she said, oh, you should like...
Leave him alone, kick him out.
Yeah, or something. But I'm not sure.
There was no Rachmanis there.
Yeah. You said, oh, you should You should hit him with an axe or something like that. Something I remember was like real graphic.
Yeah.
So, but even in that case, would you still have pity on the guy? I mean, not that you would, you know.
Does it sometimes as obvious as role means giving a guy a good slap?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the meaning of apikorsin she'enlam chelik elakaima? You know, they gave up their portion in Hashem and are actively interested in getting people away from Judaism.
Yeah,
it's a mitzvah to kill these people.
Yeah,
and would it be that we would have the ability? Then you should go take a rock and smash the guy's head in, but you'd be spending the rest of your life in jail if you did.
Right.
So. V'lachin maver ashmasenu v'chol shana v'shana v'kol chatayim shemizvadim ba'al chet midei shana v'shana. Therefore Hashem wipes away our transgressions each and every year, and all of our sins which we confess to in al chet every single year. Asher chayzer v'avar aleihem v'chayzer mizvad aleihem. Even though we go back the next year, it's the same thing, I did this thing wrong, and we're going to confess the same thing over again on Yom Kippur, B'Shana Haba, and we're doing it every single year, the same exact Al Chet. So and Hashem doesn't get tired of it. Hashem is saying, hey, this guy means it this year. That's really cool. Last year, okay, no. I mean, you know, he thought he meant it last year, which was good. Well, we see Bepoel that he didn't mean it because he went and he did the same things over again. But this year, look, he looks like he means it.
Okay. Well, they had the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen Gadol made the confession.
Mm-hmm. On behalf of the nation. I think there was still a veto there, yeah.
There's still a veto?
I believe so.
Kohen Gadol didn't change his speech either. His Vidui was the same.
Same every year.
Same every year.
Yep.
Hmm. Hundreds of years.
But v'chol shana v'shana lav davka, and it doesn't. You don't have to go to Yom Kippur for this example. Every single day, three times a day, we're saying, "Listen, Hashem, forgive me." For what? Well, between the last time I said this, there's all kinds of bunch of things that I deserve to get forgiven for.
Deserve to get forgiven for?
I deserve to get forgiven for, yes. Kemaymer Zal, Tefila Keneged Tamidim Tiknu. As it says that we daven, our davening corresponds to the daily sacrifices,
yes. The
daily community sacrifice. Tamishel Shachar Haveh Mechaper Alaveris Halayla. They offered up the morning sacrifice to atone for the sins that were done at night. With Tamishel Ben Arbayim Al Shom Shol Yoyim. And they would offer up the evening sacrifice for all the sins that were transgressed during the day.
Right.
And this went on for every single day for 1,500 years, just about Loilam. Okay? And that it was exactly the same thing. Every single day. The same lamb, the same this.
Same hooks.
Yeah, everything the same. I was just going to say something. Tommy Shelby, I forgot what it was. Alosh Yom Kippur Machaper Alaveris Achamoris. The difference is that Yom Kippur takes care of more serious crimes as well. As we talked about right at the beginning of Ageris Achuva, that from Mitzvah Sloisa Sase Chuva Machaper Yom Kippur. Chuva Toyla Yom Kippur Machaper. Chuva gets suspended. And Yom Kippur atones. We'll see. Hashem says, let's see if you can get through the rest of the year without doing it over again. If you get through to Yom Kippur, okay, I'll forgive you then. Mm-hmm. The daily sacrifice, which was a burnt offering, only atoned for positive commandments, which he talked about at great length in the second chapter. We talked about the different ways of giving and providing a present to Hashem. And so too also now, so our davening took the place of the sacrifices. And just as it was that every single morning we have to atone for what we did during the night, and every afternoon we atone what we did for the morning, and every evening we atone for that which we did during the afternoon. And even if you're in a type of a shul that they daven mincha, and as soon as they got the last amen, they start v'hu rachum. So there really is no time in between. You don't leave out the bracha slach lanu by ma'ariv. I said slach lanu by mincha. I've been forgiven already. I didn't have a time. I just went straight from mincha to ma'ariv.
You had a couple brachas.
So you still have to zuch. So slach lanu. Okay. And if a person left it out, he'd have to say slach lanu for leaving it out.
Maybe he thought something.
Who knows? The Ein Zeh Echt of Ashuv. The Alter Rebbe is very, he benches this a bunch of times. There's a concept of I will sin and I will do tshuva later.
Right.
Talk about it in the Gemara. The Rambam brings it down. Mm. And he says this is probably one of the more heinous individuals because he's relying on his tshuva to perpetrate the sin.
To fix it up.
Yeah. I'll do the sin. Based on. And then later I'll feel sorry for it.
Based on, right.
Just destroys the tshuva before he's done it.
Correct.
I heard a story once of this guy, and he was planning on leaving his wife, and he has a meeting with like a pastor or something, and he says, and he's trying to talk, the pastor's trying to talk him out of it, you know, no, you're making the wrong decision, whatever. And the guy, there was no talking to him, and he says, finally at one point in the conversation, he says, tell me, someone said, he says, you're a religious guy. He says, do you think that God can forgive me for what I'm about to do?
What I'm about to do.
Right? Pretty heavy. In other words, he knew full well what he was going into. Mm. Kind of like the example you were talking earlier about the, you know.
Right.
Someone could be in adultery. His mom is doing adultery.
I guess it's with premeditated. It's bigger.
Yeah, premeditation 100%. Doesn't cut it. Okay, so this doesn't. This, when a person says three times a day, Chanan Amar Belislech, that's not Echt of Eshuv. Because, you said this before, Ki Hayinu Dafke Shibashas Achid Hayayachal Lichvosh Yetzroi. Because when is it Echt of Eshuv? I will sin and then I will do tshuva. Is at the time when he's about to do something wrong. He's able to control himself. Elish Saimach Belibo Ala Tshuva. But he says, you know what? I get the best of both worlds. I'll do this thing wrong, and I'll do tshuva later, and I'll have, you know, Shalom al Yisrael, everything will be good, and only that, but I'll become a Baal tshuva, and I'll be on a higher level even than a Tzadik Gomer, and I will be able to get closer to Hashem, because I'm doing this thing wrong right now.
It's a good idea.
Party on.
It's a good idea.
It says no.
Folks.
And since it is, the tshuva is the impetus that allows him to sin. This is the medium. Because he says, I know God's going to forgive me later.
Yeah.
Okay? Such a person loves Hashem. This person, I would say, honestly and truly, really loves Hashem. That he is so sure that Hashem is going to, as much as I love, Hashem is going to forgive me because I know Hashem loves me because I love Hashem. Uh-huh. That's how much it is. A person loves Hashem, but he hasn't got an ounce of Yirah Shemayim.
Mm.
That's where it's missing. And Alter Rebbe called this like a bird with one wing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not going to fly as the statement goes. That's why I say, Ein Masikim. It says they do not supply him the time to do tshuva.
Mm.
Not that it doesn't say that he can't do tshuva.
Right.
Or it doesn't say that his tshuva is not accepted.
Right.
What it says is that Hashem is going to keep him so busy that in his entire lifetime he's never going to have the opportunity to do tshuva.
Mm.
And then what will happen? At 120 years, he'll have to come before Hashem and he's going to say, no, you said you're going to do tshuva. You never did.
Mm.
Oops. So, but Avgamzois ain't mas fiking daikas. They don't supply him the time. They keep him busy. When first in the Gemara, wasn't me. Who's the they? Is the Malachi Asharis? The angels keep him busy. They have him running here and there, and he's doing all kinds of stuff, and he can't. He doesn't have the time to sit down and figure out what he did. But if the guy says, wait a minute, T.O., I did something wrong. And now, not only do I feel bad about doing something wrong, I feel bad that I said Echta Ve'eshuv. That's like the next, that's also, that's something bad, right? To say Echta Ve'eshuv, I will sit and do tshuva,
right,
is something bad.
Yes.
So the person has to do tshuva for that too.
Right.
So he pushes off the time. The Malach Yisrael, let's fling him over here, keep him over there, keep him busy, keep him moving, keep him going. Mm. And he says, no, I'm stopping. I'm going to now focus on the fact that I did something wrong. He says, so Hashem will for sure forgive him. Without a doubt. Aval anush and revashim v'choldi and slach lanu. We who are asking every single day that Hashem should forgive us. Makdim levacha v'hachazirene v'shuva shalem lefanacha. We also ask over there three times a day that Hashem should return us to Israel with a complete teshuva. Hashem should return us to with a complete teshuva for you. That means you should never do anything wrong again. Mm. We're asking in his bracha, please, Hashem, I want to be a baal teshuva, meaning that I did it once, not a baal teshuva that I'm a master of doing it because I do it so well all the time. Became Yom Kippur, Mavakshin Yehiratzim Lefanecha Shela Achta Oid. So to Yom Kippur, we also say it should be a Hashem, your will, that we don't sin anymore. Masikin Umasukim. So then they say, okay, fine. He's pushing off the time. Kamayim Rezal, Haba Latar Misayin Oisei. Haba Daika Miyad Shaba. It says, I believe this is Zohar, that a person who gets, no, it's a Gemara. That a person who comes to do tshuva, a person who comes to purify himself, they help him. Who gets helped is the person who comes. V'ilazayis haslicha machiluhu miyat. If that be the case then the forgiveness, the pardoning is also immediately. Okay, there's a difference in modus operandi. I saw Mashpia that I had discussed this very, I guess maybe in Bederach Tzachlis, and it's sort of like tongue in cheek. Mm. Okay, there's two different ways to get a non-religious Jew involved in Judaism.
Okay.
Way number one is you put up a building, a stand, or something, and you wait until the guy comes. And then when the guy comes, you interest him and say, I got this, we could do that, we could do this. Mm-hmm. That's haba daika, that you're waiting for the guy to come and do tshuva.
Right.
Okay, the other way is you go to him, wherever he may be, and whatever schmutz he might be involved with. And you tell him, listen, I got some Judaism for you. Maybe you want to put down your schmutz, you want to wash yourself off a little bit. Okay,